I'm talking with Nate Downey, who is speaking at the Pajarito Environmental Education Center Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're the author of Harvesting the Rain. Can you tell us some about that book?
Yeah. The book's actually Harvest the Rain, and there are four ways that I describe for harvesting rain and snow and sleet and hail and dew and fog and any other form of condensation and precipitation you can imagine. But there are four forms of water harvesting. There's passive water harvesting. That's where you store water in the soil and you have no moving parts. You have active water harvesting, where you do have moving parts, typically a pump that pumps the water from a tank. And then there's wastewater harvesting, so that's just defined as gray water and black water, where you can use that on the landscape, or even if you have the right kind of filtration, you can reuse gray water or even black water in certain parts of the house. And then the fourth form of water harvesting is something I call community water harvesting, which can be quickly thought of essentially as watershed protection and getting involved in protecting the watersheds around your community. And so the talk I'm giving at the Environmental Center in Los Alamos tomorrow will focus partly on all four of those forms of water harvesting.
What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I've been writing a column in the Santa Fe, New Mexican called Permaculture in Practice for many years, and the inspiration actually came from a local publisher who called me up, and I started to give my spiel because I thought I was going to be, you know, describing my business as a landscape designer. And he cut me off. He said, no, you understand, we have this little place downtown, we don't want a landscape, we want to publish your book. And I said, no, you don't understand. Number one, I don't have a book, and I'm very busy, and I have all these employees, and got to go. And he kept me on the phone, and he explained that, well, I've been writing this column for so long that we could develop those and put them into a book really easily and quickly. And I thought that was a pretty good idea, but I didn't want to just sort of throw my columns back at readers. And so I turned that concept into a book with an actual beginning, middle, and an end, and it has, so it's not just a regurgitation of my columns for 8 or 10 years. It's a, and now I guess I'm on the 12th year of my column. It's a book that has some philosophy in it, a lot of story, and a lot of practical information, and I guess I was inspired to write as a young boy, but ultimately to get the book out, a publisher actually called me up and suggested it.
Well, how fortunate for you. I'm sure there are many people who wish that would happen to them.
Yeah, I was very lucky.
But it's such a practical thing for high desert, or actually anywhere, but with Santa Fe and Los Alamos being located basically in high desert, water harvesting really should be a topic well-versed, even though I'm not sure it truly is.
Yeah, it's also great for an environmental group like the Pajarito Environmental Center because they, an education center, it really, water is a great way to get started. A lot of people want to do something about the environment, but they don't really know where to begin. And the water that hits your roof or the water that slides down your property is really easily slowed down, essentially. It's really easily put to good use. And so water is a great way to get people sort of jump-started to being sort of backyard environmentalists.
Actually, isn't this your second book?
I do. I have a book that I wrote with the state of New Mexico. It's called Roof-Reliant Landscaping. And anyone who Googles roof-reliant landscaping should go right to it. And it's with the state of New Mexico. And it's free, downloadable online, and I encourage people to look at that as well. It's got lots of the same information that's in Harvest the Rain and none of the story because it's a real textbook. And so for some people who really just want the text, that might be the better choice. And for others who want to have an experience with a book that they don't sort of get bored of, Harvest the Rain would be better for them.
Now, you mentioned you run a landscaping company. So did some of your columns and now book come from solutions you created for clients?
Yes, it did. In fact, one of my first clients was Mary Zemack. Back in 1992, she contacted me, and we wanted to do a, or she wanted to do a permaculture design. And she had heard of permaculture through a guy named Ben Haggard. And in fact, it might have been Ben Haggard who initially suggested that I do the installation. And so Mary Zemack there on Canyon Road, I forget the exact address, but she has a lot of tours and educational experiences for people in Los Alamos, was one of my first clients. And we ended up having a just a great time installing her landscape. And it's one of the most permacultural landscapes in Los Alamos, for sure. She is, or if not New Mexico itself, and a great demonstration of various forms of water harvesting, probably every form of water harvesting.
Well, sometimes it does take a multi-pronged approach to actually succeed at these ideas.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite solution for rain collection?
It really depends on people's budgets. I mean, ultimately, the cistern is the best way to go, but it's also the most expensive. So if people don't have much money, I direct people toward passive water harvesting and wastewater harvesting. That is to say, your gray water from your washing machine can be used very inexpensively in your landscape without having to go through very much or any complex filtration. And same thing with passive water harvesting, where we're storing water in the soil by regrading the landscape or mulching the landscape or digging swales, setting up what we call gabions or check dams. And those types of things can be very, very inexpensive, but extremely effective as well.
You caught my ear there with gray water recycling from, like, your washing machine. And you said it doesn't take much. Do you have to be careful, like, what kind of soap you use so it really doesn't take much?
Well, you do basically want to get a way in which there can be a valve or you can quickly change, and it's quite easy to do, to quickly install a valve. So if you use chlorine bleach in your wash, you direct that to the regular either septic system that you have or the municipal system that you're on. But if you use any kind of soap that you can get from almost every grocery store, and you just look on the bottle, and you don't want something high in phosphates. But these days, there's very few other than bleach that I would worry too much about. Anything with sort of green on the label should be fine. And what happens with the gray water, when I said there's almost no filtration, what I meant by that is you actually let the landscape do the filtration for you. You let a swale, which is full of mulch, absorb the gray water as it comes out of your house, and you basically spread it into the soil in this mulched basin, and you build up the root systems of the neighboring plants very quickly and effectively so that they become the filtration system, if you will. And as long as you don't have puddling, which is what mulch prevents, you will be essentially filtering your gray water with your landscape, and it's completely legal if you are in the state of New Mexico to do so. And the New Mexico Environment Department has the regulations on its website, and if anybody wants more information, my book describes that process pretty well.
Well, I'm talking with Nate Downey, who is going to be giving a talk tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. in the Peak Environmental Center right here in Los Alamos. They're located over on Orange Street. And so your topic of discussion will be the four different kinds of water harvesting. Any emphasis on any one of them?
No, in fact, I will, as I often do, make sure I get a sense of the audience. It depends how big the audience is, but either I will go around in the beginning and ask people what their interests are and try to direct my talk to those interests, or I'll do the talk first if it's a bigger group and make sure that I have as much time for questions at the end as possible. And so people should come with pictures of their property if they have any, and we can really help it be a workshop as well as a presentation.
Will you have copies of your book there?
I will, and I believe the Ottawa Station, is it called, bookstore?
Yes.
Has some copies, and harvestthereen.com has copies, and Amazon has copies, and bookstores in Santa Fe have copies. And, yeah, but I will have some as well, for sure.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add this morning to pique our listeners' interests to attend your discussion?
Well, I just would like everybody to know that even though it's the dead of winter, it's actually not extremely cold out, and it's good to get out, and there's still things we can do this time of year to harvest the snows that we hope come, that we hope arrive. And so although a lot of my book sort of is directed toward what one might think to do in the spring, summer, and fall, winter is a great time to get ready for the snows that are heading our way.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. And, of course, we'd like to encourage everyone to come listen to you and learn about water harvesting.
Thank you so much, Jillian.